Thousands of people are held in our state's jail every day just because they can't afford to pay the bond set to get out while they're awaiting trial.
Last summer, the Arizona Supreme Court launched a task force aimed at reforming the way the court deals with things like bail, fines, and fees. And now a new survey by ASU's Morrison Institute for Public Policy shows the vast majority of Arizona voters support their recommendations. The show's Lauren Gilger joins us now with more on this. And good morning, Lauren.
Morning, Steve.
So what prompted the task force to even look into this?
Well, I spoke with Dave Byers about this morning. He's the director of the Arizona courts. And he said there is a national discussion now about the so-called cash bail system. And often it's been found that it can be really counterproductive and end up impoverishing people instead of reforming them.
So what do they want to do to change it?
Well, the task force is aiming to change the system so courts would use a risk assessment tool instead of one based on money. So if you're arrested and you're considered low risk, you can get out of jail while you're awaiting trial. And if you're high risk, you stay locked up. Now, some of those recommendations have been turned into four pieces of legislation that are being heard in front of a state Senate committee right about now, actually. And when I spoke with Byers earlier this morning, he said this cash system often becomes a problem when someone gets a speeding ticket or is driving on a suspended license. If you're arrested, that $300 ticket can pretty quickly add up to thousands of dollars.
We have hundreds of, actually thousands of people in jail all the time because they can't come up with, a $500 cash bond. At the other side of it, you could have drug dealers that are arrested and the judge might impose a $200,000 bond, and we've had people bail out in a matter of hours because they have access to money. Well, that's backwards. The low-risk individuals don't need to be in jail. The high-risk ones, you want to keep them in. And in fact, what the studies show is that if you keep a low-risk person in jail for even 2 days, the odds of them going out and then committing another crime go up. So while we're actually not improving public safety if you keep low-risk people in jail.
Right, and while you're in jail, you're supposed to be presumed innocent. You're awaiting trial still.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about. These are people who have been arrested but are presumed innocent. They're not convicted of anything, and we're not supposed to be punishing them at this point. But the way the system is, when it's based solely on money, we wind up with a lot of low-income people sitting in jail because they can't come up with that cash bail.
And like you said, that can cause them to be more likely to recommit a crime in the future. So what does this ultimately lead to, higher incarceration rates?
Well, it does. It leads to two things. First of all, jail is a very expensive operation, and jail costs can be $80, $90, $100 a day. So when we have low-risk people sitting in jails, the jails are, in many counties, overcrowded. Taxpayers have to pay for expanded jail services or to build new jails. Yet we have a lot of low-risk people in those jails. And then if you keep them in, the studies show that there is a higher likelihood they're going to commit another crime. They lose their job, they lose their car, sometimes they lose their children. Kids might be put into the Child Protective Service system. So it just really cascades from what starts out as a relatively minor matter.
So what are some of the recommendations the task force has come out with that people seem to agree on in the survey?
Well, the task force came up with about 65 recommendations, and they include things like giving judges the ability to reduce the amount of a fine, still impose it. We believe that if a person breaks the law, they should have a consequence. But judges need to have the ability to look at a person's income and adjust the penalty so that they can fairly have some hope of paying that fine, giving them the option of paying the fine over a period of time. If they really have no money at all or very little income, allow them to perform community service as a substitute, or sentence them to a program like a drug treatment program or to finish their GED, something that's more practical, more useful than just paying some money.
And there's another one in there about suspending licenses?
Yes. Right now, if a person fails to appear in court for any reason, the courts automatically, by law, have to suspend a driver's license. That happened 103,000 times last year alone. Now, if you continue to drive on that license, that's now a criminal matter. Yeah. So you could start out with a civil speeding ticket that quickly becomes a criminal matter. So what we're suggesting is if the license was suspended, it would be a civil matter, not a criminal matter. But also the judge would be given the tool to, instead of completely suspending, be able to restrict the license so a person can still go to work, for example. Whereas right now it's a full suspension. And if you try to then go to work, use your car, you're now committing a criminal offense.
That was Dave Byers, administrative director of the Arizona Courts. And like we mentioned, those four bills aimed at changing some of these policies are being heard this morning at the state legislature in a committee, and we'll be sure to watch what happens there.
And that's the show's Lauren Gilger. Lauren, thank you.
Thank you.